Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
104.5 The Zone, hitting the links with you on a Saturday morning. This is Talking Golf with Virgil Herring on 104.5 The Zone.
Good morning. It's time to talk a little golf.
Excuse me. And you're listening to Talking Golf with Virgil Herring here on 104.5 The Zone. Got another great show lined up for us today. That Steve Patterson's going to join us today to talk about the ever-growing CBD world, especially on the Champions Tour, where it's totally blown up. He just spoke at the World Fitness Golf Fitness Council this past November, so it's been great to have him on. Jim Nugent will be joining us at the 15 to write Monday's headlines on Saturday morning. Ian Highfield will join us at the Orca Driving Range to help us with our mental game. But we've decided to start the show by actually going to the range with one of the finest teachers in the country from the Mike Bender Golf Academy, Cheryl Anderson. Cheryl, how are you today?
Great, Virgil. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure. Well, you, along with myself, we're one of the fortunate ones to coach a high school golf team, and you are creating a little dynasty down there in Lake Mary. And when we think about like coaching junior golf and high school golf, what are some of the important factors that you try to instill into your team, which is a unique piece to high school, I mean, to golf period, which is the team aspect? What do you pass on in a team atmosphere for them?
Number one is having fun. That's what it's all about. And making good relationships and just helping each other as a group, right? We're all in it collectively to win. And but if we don't win, we still want to have fun along the way.
Yeah, that's so true. You know, right now we're in the middle of this gigantic speed boom in golf, in which a lot of talk is on how fast people are swinging Cameron Champ and, you know, Rory and DJ. How important, because this is really important to me, but I want to hear it from you. How important is speed in the game of golf? And especially I see it trending toward the women's game. Talk to us about speed.
Yeah, it's funny. I have a group of 10 kids starting with me this morning at 8:30. And every single class, I'm with them for 10 weeks, every single class of the hour and a half class, 1.5 hour is completely devoted to speed training and just overall power. That's how important we think it is. We never used to include anything like that before, but it's necessary. I mean, I've got girls who are 13 years old already at 94 miles per hour. And you have to be. It's a completely different game than when I played, you know, professionally. So back then, like in the 90s, there were Lita Lindleys and Vicky Getzes that could win golf tournaments hitting it 210 yards. And there's no way you can do that anymore. The courses are stretched out on the LPGA to 6,500 minimum. So, yeah, it's very important. And you know what else is important, Virgil?
What's that?
Par. Par is not good anymore. I mean, these kids down here in Florida, anyway, there was a boy that shot a 61 in a Florida Junior Tour event. 61. So it's like you just have to change your mindset about the game. You got to hit it far and you got to score low.
When it comes to that kind of thought, when you're thinking of, you know, taking par out now and trying to be aggressive, make as many birdies as possible, that's the fine line of how aggressive is too aggressive, but how passive is too passive. What are some of the things you like to pass on to your students about when the green light's on, when the orange light's on, and when the red light's on?
Okay, I'm going to give you a great example because we had the high school state championship last week, and I coached a boy that finished third. The reason he finished third was because the first hole on the second day, it was a par five, and he went for it in two on the first hole. That's not a great time to go for it in two when it's a very narrow landing area. So he took a bold move and he ended up with a double bogey. So you have to understand, that's what's so great about the times we live in. There's people out there like that do this for a living, they figure out the stats of your game. Have you spent time with, like, Shot by Shot or Decade Golf?
Oh, yeah. I'm a huge Scott Fawcett fan. And you know, the Shot by Shot, I mean, anything that, I mean, I've used Shot by Shot. I'm now with Scott and doing Decade. But at the end of the day, the understanding your tendencies as well as understanding the probabilities of hitting a shot at any moment is so critical.
It's so critical. You got to know if you have a 3-wood in your hand, well, it's probably not the best time to go for this green, right? But then there's 3 other par 4s on that course where he has an iron in his hand. So, you know, just educating and sitting down after the round and just helping them to understand what the problem was so they don't make that problem again. It's good that you're bold, but like I said, you got to know when to be bold.
Yeah, I find, you know, the game is trending in a direction that is so amazing. We've really kind of narrowed down. There's a variety of ways to swing it within a parameter of doability, but now we're starting to understand how to access the better parts of the brain. And now we have also the analytics that are breaking down, you know, the probabilities. And so that you're always, you start off by picking the right shot, which then calms the mind, which allows you to get in the right process, which then allows you to store your excess talent that you've worked so hard to get. We're starting to see this place where we're getting the root of great golf, and we're starting there and allowing what we see to be great golf, which is the great golf shot, which is the end of the process, occur. How important is following that process to you and getting your players to play the best they can play?
Well, when Pia Nielsen came along in the early 90s, I was fortunate enough to kind of see how she coached her kids and also Henry Brunnen. And the first thing they teach them is like the think box and the play box, right? So you've got to make a clear decision in that think box before you ever enter that play box. And then once you're up in that play box, you got to leave all the thinking behind. So honestly, I teach that to every single golfer, whether they're a brand new golfer or a pro. I review that thing constantly. You have to be fully committed in that play box without too many thoughts.
And so when you're dealing with the teenage golfer, which can be committed to something and take 2 steps and be non-committed to it the next second, where do you like to use your practice there, and how do you like to use a good drill? I mean, I know the Think Box Play Box is one of my all-time favorites. Help us maybe navigate through the Think Box Play Box to take our game to the next level.
Okay, one thing that comes right to mind, I had a boy one time, and he fully committed, he said he did, to this little chip shot, right? And then he flubbed it. So I said, you know, Linus, were you fully committed? He said, yes. I go, so tell me what you were thinking through the shot. He said, okay, I was going to hit this nice little high slider, and then right in the middle of my backswing, I said, I'm going to hit a medium shot. I said, Linus, catch yourself right there. You were not fully committed. So people don't realize that they weren't fully committed. So you kind of have to, you have to backtrack when people miss a shot. You have to make sure it wasn't due to not being fully committed first, because technique always gets blamed, and it's not always the technique.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I mean, at the end of the day, you could almost argue that it's hardly ever actually technique if you get to a certain level of talent. But yeah, so true, so true.
Why you need a coach.
Yeah.
Because people can't figure that out themselves. And, you know, getting off a tangent here, but golf is one of those sports, you don't have a coach with you all the time. It's hard, I know. But the coach needs to educate the student about what to look for, and then that student can be their own coach, right, eventually.
Yes, no question about it. Well, the final question I wanted to ask you today is, as really one of the leading authorities in golf teaching, whether you be a male or a female, but we have a huge landmark day yesterday with Susie Whaley becoming the first female president of the PGA of America. When you think back to your road to where you are today, top 50 Golf Digest, top 100 Teacher Golf Magazine, really widely recognized as one of the best coaches in the world, talk to us about the importance of this moment to you.
You know, Susie's a good friend, and I am so happy for her. I played a lot of golf with Susie in the 90s and early 2000s, and just having her be our president, really there couldn't be a better person. She's so extroverted. She loves the energy. She loves the competition, too. She has been around golf her whole life. Her kids play golf. She met her husband in golf. So golf is just Susie Whaley, and she is totally committed to making this game more available. She's encouraging all of us to invite a new golfer every year. She wants to see the game grow, and that's pretty much how we have to do it. We have to invite new people into the game so they can see how great it is. And she truly is in a position where she just wants to give back and kind of give that love of golf to all of us PGA professionals and share it to new people in the world. And I think that's going to be her destiny. And just absolutely, she's a role model for me too, because sometimes we get content in our lives and she's just pushing forward and making things better. So it's very motivating for me.
Well, if there's ever been anybody that would be able to demonstrate in person a level of conviction and commitment to something, it's Susie Whaley. I haven't been around her much, but if there's one thing that I've seen out of her is when she sets her mind to something, she doesn't waver off of it. She's very committed, and it's a fantastic thing for the PGA of America, and she's definitely a great role model, that's for sure.
Yeah, to go out and play in a PGA Tour event, right? You know, I think a lot of people, myself included, I don't know if I would have taken that next step. She qualified under the rules, and to go out and actually do it, that's very brave. So I'm glad somebody like that is leading the organization.
I agree 100%. Well, if my listeners get to Orlando, I strongly encourage you to take the time to go see Cheryl. Cheryl, how can my listeners get in touch with you?
Just go to MikeBender.com.
MikeBender.com. Cheryl, hope that you're doing well. Please tell Lauren and the family I say hello. Look forward to catching up with you really soon.
Thanks, Virgil.
Have a great day.
Bye.
All right, when we come back, we're going to write Monday's headlines on Saturday morning, so stick around. You're listening to Talking Golf with Virgil Herring here on 104.5 The Zone. Welcome back. You are listening to Talking Golf with Virgil Herring here on 104.5 The Zone. If you'd like to get involved with the show, hit me up on Twitter. I'm at Virgil Tourspin. And it's at this time every Saturday morning. We write Monday's headlines on Saturday morning with the founder of Global Golf Post, Jim Nugent. Nugent, how are you today, buddy?
Virgil, I'm good. Thanks for having me on today.
My pleasure. Well, the plate is bizarrely full for a pre-Thanksgiving. Not much going on in the golf world, but there seems to be headlines everywhere. And we're going to rewind the tape to last week with Bryson DeChambeau winning again. He's really starting to make his mark in the professional game, yet he doesn't quite get the same kind of accolade that others with the same kind of record he has. I'm a little bit shocked at how often he's won. It's a real testament to his ability. I just didn't know that he had this kind of game, but Bryson DeChambeau, he is really showing it.
I don't think anybody knew that he had this kind of game, Virgil. You know, he's a United States amateur champion. He had a good college career. But we talk about guys being just a little bit off center. Bryson is way off center. He's like out of bounds from the center of the fairway with in so many ways. You know, his single length clubs, a swing that's hardly what we're used to seeing on tour. And his mental approach, but whatever he's got going on, it's working, because as has been said several times this week, he's now won more times than Ricky Fowler. He's the fifth ranked professional in the world. It's working, and I think we should appreciate it and appreciate him for what he's doing.
Yeah, to me, the thing that I appreciate is the fact that he's doing something so out of the box and without any regard to what anybody thinks, and just follows his way and trusts his way. And it's a beautiful thing to watch, because so many people fail to trust that inner vision that they have.
He's going about it in a way, a fashion that I don't think we've seen. I in my time, I don't think I've ever seen anything quite like this. Maybe it's reminiscent of Mac O'Grady. But Mac O'Grady never, you know, achieved the kind of success on the golf course that Bryson has. And he's a breath of fresh air. But I'll tell you this, I know the young man just a little bit. I met him and spent some time with him and have kept in touch since the U.S. Amateur that he won here in Chicago at Olympia Fields. He's a gentleman. He takes his hat off when he walks into a room. It's Mr. Nugent. It's glad to see you. He shakes your hand. He looks you in the eye. He may be a little bit unusual on the golf course, but off the golf course, he's a perfect gentleman and needs to be respected and admired for that.
Yeah, and I think that he actually has the attention of Phil and Tiger. I think they both really enjoy being around him because he brings a different level of education and deliverance of the information. He's got their attention for sure.
Well, he's got Phil's because he's not afraid of the Tuesday afternoon wager on the practice route. And Tiger, you know, it was, you know, said it during the time of the Ryder Cup when they were talking about pairing them together. I mean, there are two opposite people than Tiger Woods and Bryson DeChambeau, and yet on the golf course they seem to somehow have bonded. So it's as I said, unusual in so many respects, but a really, really good player and a really, really good young man.
Yeah. Speaking of turning the corner and making a huge event out of the last part of this season, the Ryder Cup does something to Sergio Garcia. It appears that Sergio is set to win again. He won at Valderrama recently after the Ryder Cup and now is staring down a pretty big paycheck at the Ned Bank Challenge. It's amazing how Sergio Garcia can appear and disappear throughout his career, but he looks like the Sergio we expect to see week in, week out right now.
Yeah, it really is. And you know, you can say that the Ryder Cup got him recharged, and that's possibly true and probably true. But also, I think it's been a year of transition for a guy who, you know, for the better part of his professional career was a single man and not a father. And over the last year, both of those statements are no longer true. He's married and he has a child. And he's also now living essentially full-time in the United States. I think there was a great deal of change that came into his life personally that he was having to adjust to, and I think it took him a while. But he's got his game back, and it's great to see for the global game of golf.
Yeah, no question. Now, Nuge, I've only heard this story, and it was pretty up close, but I'm not going to say that I was directly related to it. But one of the things that I remember about Lorena Ochoa retiring was that she was pretty tired of what she thought was some cheating going on in the LPGA Tour that wasn't being addressed. And we just had a pretty big scandal at the LPGA Q School, in which really one of the better college players of the recent history, mom kicked a ball back in from out of bounds to in play, and it created a huge firestorm that even had the caddy not only blow, the mom makes the mistake, and then the player doesn't necessarily tell the truth, and then the caddy has to throw the player under the bus. This has turned into a dumpster fire for Doris Chen, don't you think?
Yeah, it's kind of an ugly moment in our game. And it's, you know, I'm really, as I think about it, I'm surprised that it's taken this long for this kind of issue to arise. It's unfortunate for the player, and she's going to have to carry this for the rest of her life. But you know, the issue here is twofold. It's one, culture, and two, parents who don't really come from the game, don't themselves play golf, and therefore don't understand not just the etiquette, but in this case, the rules of golf, and yet they mean so well for their child. And if the facts are what they appear to be, and no one's really quite sure yet, we've dug into this at Global Golf Post, and our reporting is not over, and it's you know, there's a lot of gray here. This isn't black and white. But if it is in fact true that mom kicked the ball back into play and the player played it, it's a black eye, but it's also a warning flag that our game has to be a little bit more cognizant of the fact that not everybody grew up playing by the rules as we know them, and not everybody knows the rules of the game.
Yeah, and I've unfortunately been in a bunch of different situations in junior golf, too, where the parent can't stand to watch their kid struggle, and they somehow try to save them from the pain.
And that's where it starts.
Yeah,
that's where it starts. You know that. I know that. We've both seen it. And you know, as a parent, and now, by the way, I must point out, a grandparent.
Ooh.
You know, I feel for the parents. I understand that, but part of letting your child grow up is letting them fail, right?
Yep. It's one of the hard, because failure is the basically the first ingredient of success in the future. And
it's the best teacher.
It is. I just pains me to know that this girl, who's a really good player, is gonna be something she'll never be able to shake. And it's a sad situation for her, for sure.
You know, it is, and the best thing that can happen is this girl to come out and say, "Look, I made a bad play here. My mother was well intended, but she didn't do the right thing. And I'm sorry, and please forgive me." And you know, society, our culture, for the most part, gives people second chances if they'll accept the consequences and raise their hand and say, "Yeah, I screwed up." I hope that she'll do that, because it will pass much more quickly than if she or her mom are in denial over this for many years.
Yeah, they dig in. Finally, Maya Koba, really a person who fell off the radar screen, Matt Kuchar, is in the lead by 2 shots over the guy who has imploded in going face first into the radar screen, and Cameron Champ. Pretty much a dichotomy in style. Was one as the longest hitter we've ever seen, probably on the tour, and Kuchar is kind of a dink and dunk precision player. How do you see it shaking out at Maya Koba this weekend, Nuge?
Well, you know, Matt's one of the all-star citizens on the PGA Tour, and has been a model citizen for a very, very long time. His wife jumped in and picked up the bag this week for another player who, when his caddy became dehydrated. And so you want to root for Matt Kuchar, but he's a little long on the teeth, and I'm afraid he's going to get run down by the next superstar, next apparent superstar in the PGA Tour, Cameron Champ.
It's unbelievable. This guy is a firestorm of excitement, and I know that he's not Tiger Woods. I'm not even trying to compare him to Tiger Woods, other than he brings that same kind of wow that Tiger brought with his distance and game back in 97. Cameron Champ's doing it right now. I mean, he's doing things that we really never thought possible.
No, he is. And what's changed, you know, he's always been freakishly long for as long as he's really been a competitive player. But what he doesn't get credit for, and what Sean Foley, his instructor, doesn't get enough credit for, is over the last 2 years, he's learned how to play golf. His short game is really good. He can putt. He's learning to hit golf shots. And, you know, in this final quarter of the year, the first quarter of the wraparound season, we're watching a man really come of age, because he's got all the tools, but he's got this one tool that all of us crave and few of us have, and that's extraordinary distance.
Yeah, no doubt. Nuge, what the headline's going to read on Monday morning?
I don't see how it can say anything other than champion. Cameron Champ wins in Mexico City.
Fantastic. Well, how can my listeners get a hold of the Global Golf Post, Nuge?
You can get a free subscription to Global Golf Post at globalgolfpost.com. We're published every Monday morning at 7 a.m. And this week we're going to tell you how it was that Cameron Champ put it all together and won for the second time in his very, very young career.
Nuge, as always, thank you for your contributions to the show. Look forward to having you on next week, buddy.
Cheers, Sergio. Thank you.
My pleasure. All right, when we come back, we're headed to the Orca Driving Range, so stick around. You're listening to Talking Golf with Virgil Herring here on 104.5 The Zone. Nobody said it was easy. Welcome back. And you are listening to Talking Golf with Virgil Herring here on 104.5 The Zone. At this time, every Saturday morning, we make the turn and decide it's a better idea to go to the range, the Orca Driving Range. And today we're going to work with one of the best mental game coaches in all of the land, the founder of Game Like Training Golf and the inventor of Osvia, Ian Highfield. Ian, how are you today, buddy?
I'm good, thanks, Virgil. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Well, thank you so much for coming on today. As we head into the winter, you know, a lot of people put the golf clubs down and don't really think of them again until March. And then they wonder why they can't get their game back until June. But there's plenty of things that we can do to work on our game. But I think it's important to not talk about it like that. We need to talk about it in the importance of how the body learns and how, when you practice correctly, we don't have to practice for 4 hours in the dark shadow boxing, so to speak. But there are certain things we can do that will get us, even if it's just 30 minutes, get our head in the right place, work on one thing, and really put it, you know, begin to put it in. Talk to us about the importance of this and how the brain works to store these talents.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a lot of research out there on this subject, and it's still being heavily researched. So excuse me if you have me on in 3 or 4 years' time and I say something that's completely different to this. But for now, what we know is this, that the human brain and human body are blessed with a gift, and that's the gift of adaptability. So we can learn skills. The way that we learn is we have to place cognitive stress on our brain. If we place stress on our brain and our brain is engaged in a task, it will learn to adapt. Now, what often happens in golf is there's this perception that, okay, if I hit 1,000 balls with this new swing move, then I'm going to learn. But unfortunately, after a while, you'll become disengaged in that task. It's too blocked and it's too repetitive. So the brain switches off and the brain isn't stimulated. It's not under cognitive stress. All the brain is experiencing is really blood flow. So you're almost in a gentle exercise circuit rather than actually in a deliberate practice circuit that will create learning, that will stimulate your brain. So the key to golf practice throughout the winter is you have to create some form of cognitive stress on your brain with every ball, and then you will start to learn and retain those swing moves ready for the new golf season.
Yeah, and it's a lot of times a misconception that you have to hit balls to make a change. But there's plenty of things that we can do when it comes to retraining body positions and balances and what have you. There's a lot of things that can be done. And the hardest part, I think, for people when they're working on their swing without hitting golf balls or being indoor is that there's no immediate gratification of how good you hit it.
Yeah.
And there's also no, it's hard to set a goal like that. Talk to us about the goal setting. And even if you have 3 10-minute goals of trying to get your hand in a better spot, try to feel your balance, talk to us about like how to set proper goals for time limits, because each person has their own threshold of attention.
Well, and to your first point, Virgil, you're 100% correct. If you're working on your golf swing, the ball can actually be a distraction. It can be a good thing to actually have no golf ball there. Because if you can't get the golf club in the right position at a slower speed without hitting a golf ball, what chance have you got when you're swinging your 6-iron 70, 80, 90 miles an hour and hitting a ball? So the first thing is you're absolutely correct. It's a great point. You do not need a golf ball there. And then how practice should look is, you know, if we build from your example of not having the golf ball, what you should always do is, you know, we try and make par on the golf course, but you should also make par in practice. And par stands for plan, act, and reflect. So before your session, plan out what you're going to do. So it might say, you know, look, point number one, 3 swings with no golf ball, feeling the position that Virgil wants me to get in on my backswing. Then point two might be 3 swings, hitting the ball at 10% speed. Point three might be go hole a 6-foot putt or hit a pitch shot to a target and then come back and repeat points number one and number two. And the reason that this works is I talked about cognitive stress. So the reason this works is that there's space in between each rep. There's variability in that practice circuit, and there's a certain level of challenge. Now, they're the three things that will induce learning. So as you stand in your net over winter, if you just rep ball after ball after ball after ball, you are not going to create spacing, variability, and challenge. If you can plan a circuit that has spacing, variability, and challenge in it, action it, and then actually take some notes as you're doing it or reflect on your practice, that's really going to help you learn. And then if you really want to take this to the next level, you can turn it into a game. Because games are addictive. If we look at, you know, the world of PlayStation, I think that game Fortnite, kids are basically addicted to that because it gives us something as human beings that we desire. So again, just repping balls, it doesn't give us everything that we need. It's not as engaging and we might not be as motivated to do it. So if we can turn our practice into a game, then ultimately, again, we can be more engaged and we can add spacing, variability, and challenge. So, you know, I think, Virgil, one of the things that a lot of golfers will be working on over winter is hitting the ball in the center of the face. So a practice circuit, you could plan a practice circuit and say something like, okay, I have three balls. I have to hit one in the toe, one in the heel, one in the center of the face, and I get a point for each one. Then I have to go and hold a 6-foot putt, an 8-foot putt, and if I hold both of those, I get to return back to the ball striking challenge, where I have to hit one ball in the toe, one ball in the heel, one ball in the center. And I've got 20 minutes to get as many points as I can. And I think, you know, you start to learn a bit more about where the golf club is and where you're striking the ball on the face. And then also you have a different challenge put in there to keep the brain engaged. You're not just playing that one game. There's another challenge that's going to affect your time. So I think the key to winter practice is for golfers to keep themselves moving around, add variability and add challenge, and maybe give themselves points and targets to work towards.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think one of the most important things that you said, that it just cannot be said enough, and it's amazing that all of the great players that I've had that have taken their talent and moved past the college game into the professional game, they journaled their existence. They journaled their practice sessions. The importance of writing things down is just unbelievably important. And it's just one of the little things that I see that separate people who take it to the next level and the ones that don't.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. There's a player that I work with. He's at final stage of European Tour Q School, first round today. And he struggled this year with his putting. And when he realized he was going to be going to Q School, it was something that I'd suggested in the past, but he'd not taken up. But he started journaling his putts in practice. Every single putt he hit, Virgil, for about 5 weeks.
Wow.
Was he committed to it? Did it hit the center of the face? Did he start it online? And his feedback was, man, I learned so much. He said, I learned I'm a good putter. He said, I start the ball online so many times. He said, my tendency is actually just to underread. And it looks like I just underread left to right. He said, so I've set myself a goal when I'm in Q school. If it's a left to right putt and I'm undecided on the line, just going to pick the slightly higher line. And, you know, that myself, his coach, the team around him, we asked him to do this, but ultimately he's actively discovering solutions to his areas of development. He's not having someone instruct him. And again, that's true learning. That ability to reflect, it creates what we would call a feedback loop. And it really helps people learn at an accelerated rate. You can get better faster if you journal.
Absolutely. And how can my listeners get in touch with you and your great coaching? Because, man, in my opinion, you're one of the elite in the world at what you do. So how can my listeners get in touch with you?
Well, I'm blushing. That's nice to say. Thank you. I appreciate the compliment. I have a website, GLT Golf. It was set up by myself, Matthew Cook, and a really, really good golf coach who's a bit more into the technical side of things called Eric Zeigel. So GLT Golf, and on there, what we try and do is we really try and give coaches and players the information that's not often accessible regarding practice and regarding sports psychology. So we want to help players think differently and train differently. And a lot of our content on that site is free. We do have, in the resources section at gltgolf.com, we do have a guide to winter practice. So everything that we've discussed today, you can download for free. It's about 2,000 words, and it will give you some circuits that you can do at home, whether you're a slicer, a hooker of the ball, or whatever it might be.
Ian, thank you so much for all of you, all that you do for golf and for what you do for my show, buddy. Look forward to having you on really soon, okay?
Same to you, Virgil. Keep up the great work. I really enjoy listening and watching your stuff on social media, too. It's awesome.
Well, I appreciate it, buddy. Thank you.
Thanks, dude. Have a great day.
Thank you. All right, we return. Steve Patterson is going to join us. We're going to head into the new world of pain relief and anti-anxiety. So let's stick around. You're listening to Talking Golf with Virgil Herring here on 104.5 The Zone. It's time to finish strong, and you are listening to Talking Golf with Virgil Herring here on 104.5 The Zone. You know, the future of pain relief and anxiety relief is right around the corner. It's actually right on us. And we've had Steve on before about CBD and the future of where CBD oil and is going to take the game when it comes to both of those ideas is just now reaching its precipice. And I wanted to bring you back on again. Steve is the director of Endosport Sales and is really the foremost authority when it comes to speaking on CBD. And he just spoke at the World Golf Fitness Summit about it. Steve, how are you today, buddy?
I'm doing great, Virgil. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure. Well, this is such a fascinating topic and really something that's so cutting edge and you're at the threshold of breaking through with this. Talk to us a little bit about the benefits of the hemp oil products.
Well, what we're finding, and specific to golf, and thank you for your compliments. I'm hardly the authority, but I guess I can take credit for being someone who had an idea that we need to take this product and introduce it to athletes, and athletes in particular. And the reason why kind of stemmed from a study that I read where they did some testing on CBD with public speaking individuals, and they found their anxiety levels went way low once they were doing this double-blind test. So my thoughts were, oh my gosh, if this can help with the yips, that would be fantastic for somebody. And then I spread out a little bit further than that, just to say, okay, you know, this anxiety for tournament golfers or for any golfer, I mean, from ladies' day to men's day, anybody that's experiencing a little bit of the first tee jitters, there's some benefits that hemp oil and CBD in particular can help with. You combine that with the pain, joint and muscle relief, and the inflammation that your body can rid itself of, and you've got a really good combination for all athletes, but particularly golfers in general. But it basically comes down to the anxiety and the joint muscle pain and inflammation. And there's a couple other things that it helps with too. But for athletes, those are the main things that we're looking at.
You know, I'm interested because I just thought of how, because I've known you, you actually used to be my boss in 1995. So I mean, it kind of makes me think that, wow, 1995 seems like last week, but it's like 23 years ago. But how proud I am of you that you spoke at the World Golf Fitness Summit. Talk to us about what that was like, representing the PGA, representing all of us in an arena that can be kind of non-golfy. You know, the fitness people can be a little bit different than the PGA Pro. Talk to us about that.
Oh, no, there's no doubt about that. And the opportunity to speak there was something that just, it blew me away. And what I found out was there were 500 speaker applications for this three-day event down in Orlando last month. I was more or less asked to submit a speaker application because the World Golf Fitness Summit is run by the staff from Titleist Performance Institute. And when I talked to them about hemp oil and the benefits, they were on board 100%. So I get down to Orlando, I'm looking at the speaker list. It is just an A-list of sport fitness professionals. And then here's Steve Patterson, the golf pro, in talking about hemp oil. And it went fantastic. I had about 125 people in the room when I spoke. I had the last session before lunchtime, so we actually got to go overtime. People did not get up and leave. I stayed an extra 15 minutes and asked questions. So, yeah, there wasn't a lot of golf pros down there. It was mostly personal trainers, physical therapists, chiropractors. But the interest level was off the charts, and that was really the sweet spot for us to introduce our products into the sporting world, into the area of, you know, them opening accounts and starting to carry Indosport products in their facilities.
Yeah, I think the thing that's important for me to get out there is that not all of these hemp oil companies are the same when it comes to quality, and Indosport is in its own class. Talk to us about Indosport and the products that you guys have.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of the wild, wild west out there right now in the world of hemp oil, because the FDA is yet to start their regulations. We're within months of that happening, and when that happens, that's going to clear the playing field, so to speak. I went to work with Functional Remedies from a different company. Once I learned a little bit about the business, I learned about the company I was with, and then I learned about Functional Remedies, I was like, you know, if I'm going to do this, I want to associate myself with the very best. So what makes us the best is we're one of the few companies that actually owns our own farm, and we're getting ready to expand on that, actually. And as a side note, the company's actually looking at land in Tennessee, of all places. It's a very hemp-friendly state down there where you are, and land is there's great farmland down there, and that's something that's that could eventually happen. But so we own our own farm. We have our own proprietary strain of hemp, but the most important thing is we have an extraction method called lipid infusion that enables us to gather the plant and take the essence of the plant or the wholeness of the plant and move it into our oil, where other companies are doing other extraction methods, which are a little bit more harsh and do not fully capture all the compounds that come out of the plant. So Our third-party testing has shown that our products are a lot more phytonutrient-rich, and we control the process from start to finish. So, you know, when you put hemp oil in your body, I could take you to the field where the plant was grown. I could take you to the lab where it was extracted and formulated all the way to finished product in the bottle. And that's very uncommon in the world of hemp right now.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, you've had some amazing success on the Champions Tour with Scotty McCarron and a handful of others, and obviously he has the chance to win the whole shebang today or this weekend, so that would be huge for you. And in the last minute here, talk to us about that the Champions Tour, and then also anything that you can do to have our people reach out to you and get in touch with Indosport.
Yeah, with the Champions Tour, we signed Scott McCarron to an endorsement contract. We could not have connected with a better golf professional. He is a strong advocate for our products. Obviously a fantastic player. I think he's tied for the lead right now going into the last two rounds this weekend. And you're right, if he does win, he ends up winning the Charles Schwab Cup Championship for the season. And so that would be great for us. But week to week, we've been to five tour events out there. And I say we've got a tour rep. And, you know, we started out with about 12 players. The next week it went to 24. The next week it went to 36. Well, right now we've got 50 players on the Champions Tour who are experiencing the benefits of our products. In this season-ending event, there's 36 players, and 25 of those players are taking our products. And we've got some big-timers. There's 13 major championships amongst those players, anywhere from Kenny Perry to Scott McCarron, Mark Calcavecchia. The list goes on and on. There's one of the side notes is there's one player out there that actually represents another hemp company, wears the logo on the shirt, but he takes our products. He says they're better, and I won't tell you who it is, yeah. But we found that was pretty interesting. So, you know, as far as your listeners, check out functionalremedies.com. The brand name for the sports is Indosport. If you're interested in placing an order, use the coupon code FRIENDS25 and enjoy a 25% discount off the products and learn something along the way, because our website was just redone, and it's a really nice source of education as well. And you can learn a little bit more about hemp oil and the benefits of CBD-based products can bring you.
Awesome stuff, Steve. Thank you so much for taking the time to join me, buddy. I look forward to having you on again real soon.
That's great, Virgil. Have a great day.
Thanks, buddy. Thank you for making us part of your Saturday morning, because without you, there is no us. Have a wonderful weekend. I look forward to having you on again for more Talking Golf next Saturday.